Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
A little late night juice on the Cuse podcast here as we are just moments after finishing up Syracuse and Duke. Matt D'Agostino, Wes Chang with you here. Wes cheats. He's out on the left coast, so it's barely past dinner time for him. We're burning the midnight oil here on the East Coast as Syracuse falls to Duke 86-66. Wes, and it was looking good for a little while. It was looking encouraging. Jay Williams, even towards the end of the first half, was like, this is what Syracuse basketball is now. Like, be prepared for the changes that we've been talking about in the Red Autry era. But then the second half came along and things kind of got derailed a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Matt, I know the final box score says that Duke won by 20, but the game, I think for the most part, was closer than that at least. So, you know, the number one place you have to look is turnovers. Syracuse committed 17 of them. That leads to 23 points from Duke's end. That's the most points Syracuse has given up in turnovers this season. You can't do that on the road against one of the best teams in the conference. So there's a turnover aspect of it. But I also think this game really exposed some of Syracuse's flaws. They lack a true knockdown three-point shooter. The Orange went 4-for-16 from three-point land. They're two alleged best shooters. Justin Taylor, Chris Bell, they're a combined 0-for-2 from downtown. You can't be an outside shooter if you don't shoot. They combine for 3 points, and you just can't have that from your two starting forwards. And I think what they're really missing is Jesse Edwards, because Mark Mitchell may as well have been Elton Brand, to make an old reference tonight. 21.6 rebounds, most of the damage in the first half. And he only came in averaging 11 a game. So I really think this game showed their team that miss Joe Girard and Jesse Edwards, or at least the skill sets that they bring to that game, especially on the offensive end.
Yeah, that's a good take on it there. The turnovers for me, it seemed like every time that Syracuse turns the ball over in the second half, Duke goes in transition and gets a wide open look from beyond the arc. They hit all 8 of their 3-point attempts in the second half, and you know, that kind of pushed things out of reach. It seemed like for a little bit, even in the second half, they'd get down by 7, get down by 9. And mount a little run. Then it'd go to 13. They get it back down to 7 or 9 again. And then it just kind of fell out of reach in the last 10 minutes or so. But the true shooter came into play. We saw a skilled big man in Kyle Filipowski that we thought Syracuse would have trouble guarding. And Malik Brown, who was the star of the show for Syracuse in this one, played some great defense on Filipowski, but the skill of him to be able to go to a turnaround jumper in the paint a couple of times to just kind of show off that skill set that Syracuse does not have in the middle at this point was definitely a telling sign as well, to where, you know, Syracuse just didn't have enough answers, whether it be inside, outside, from the bench, from its starters. You know, Malik Brown, 26 points off the bench, was incredible, but the guys we've been talking about so glowingly the last couple of weeks, Quiddier Copeland, Benny Williams, mostly non-factors in this one, Wes.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about the tale of two halves. The stats really tell the story. Duke 0 for 9 from 3 in the first half, 8 for 8 in the second half. And we were, you know, you and I were texting about this during the game, and I understand a concept of regression to the mean, but when you go 0 for 9, you don't expect the second half to be 8 for 8, and that's almost too much of a correction in the other direction. If they miss a few of those, we were talking about this, I think Syracuse ends up playing this a lot closer. And you mentioned the one-time Syracuse recruit, Kyle Filipowski. You know, he finally got it going, 0 points in the first half. And in the second half, you know, he definitely made a more concerted effort to take it to the basket. And as you were saying, you know, many of those were really tough makes, because I thought Malik Brown actually played a heck of a good game on him on defense. And it's just that Kyle hit better shots, and you have to tip your hat to him. And that's why he's going to be an NBA lottery pick at the end of the day. So, yeah, you know, Syracuse played really well in the first half. I actually thought they probably should have went into halftime with the lead. And you knew that Duke wasn't going to, you know, shoot 0 for 9 again in the second half. But I was kind of hoping like 4 for 8 might have been a better regression to the mean instead of 8 for 8. That's just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, and you mentioned guys like Bell and Taylor not shooting the ball. Benny Williams, 3 field goal attempts off the bench in this one. Quiddier Copeland took 9 shots, but only made 2 of them. They were actually both threes, which has not been in his arsenal until the last couple of games. But he has been so great, and he fills the stat sheet a little bit here, but the numbers far less than what we've been accustomed to seeing. So outside of Brown, the Syracuse bench only gives you 10 points. And then between Bell, McLeod, and Taylor in the starting unit, just 3 points total between the three of them. So a lot of those role players that we've been accustomed to just seeing play well game in and game out just didn't seem to get the flow of things in this one in Cameron Indoor.
You know, Matt, we've been talking a lot also about lineup adjustments. And at this point, I think you have to have Malik Brown as your starting center again. 26.7 rebounds, plus what I think was his first made collegiate three. And you have to double check me on that to see if I'm correct on that. But he's just got such high basketball IQ. He makes all the right plays. And I just can't see Nyheim McLeod continue to flounder in the starting lineup like he has been. He's such a quick pull from the starting lineup that I just think Brown's been way too good. And if, you know, you're going to have him play this kind of minutes, you may as well just have him play at the start. And, you know, just to kind of wrap up our thing about the bench, as good as Quiddier Copeland has been, and he was ACC player of the week, he was just named that earlier today. He's just way too sloppy tonight. You mentioned that he spent too much time shooting perimeter shots. You know, I know he made the 2 3-pointers, but, you know, shooting 6 3-pointers, that's not his game. He also had 4 turnovers. And I know that he tries to be fancy with those passes. Man, a little bit too much mustard on some of those passes, I think, Matt.
One follow-up for you. So we've talked about McLeod kind of being the, I don't know if this is too generic, the Craig Forth model in terms of Syracuse centers, the guy who is in there in the beginning, sits large portions of the game, and, you know, may or may not be in there at the end. Jeremy McNeil, some of these other guys that we've talked about in that same kind of mold. If McLeod goes to the bench, does he just become a forgotten man in the rotation? Like, you know, if Malik Brown's going to play those minutes that McLeod would normally play at the start of the game, he's not playing a lot in the second halves or, you know, late in each half. Does he just kind of get lost in the shuffle at that point? And then Syracuse is down one guy in their rotation for the most part.
I think so. I mean, you're just really not getting anything out of him. I think, you know, we were talking about the concept in our last podcast about, well, if you can get found money from, you know, Bell or Taylor, you know, they have the upside to be able to, you know, get going offensively. What has Nyheim McLeod really given you in any sort of starting context? And I think the answer is not a heck of a lot. Whereas I feel like Bell or Taylor, you know, they hit a couple threes and all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is what we're going to get from them for this specific game. So to me, yes, I really think that it's time to make that lineup change. And, you know, if he falls out of the rotation, he falls out of the rotation.
There you go. Wes Chang offering an opinion on shortening the Syracuse rotation, one of the strengths, believe it or not, of this Syracuse season thus far. We'll see how that progresses here over the next few weeks. Again, a 20-point loss at Cameron Indoor to Duke as Syracuse drops to 10-4 on the season, 1-2 in ACC play. We'll come back, talk more about it on the other side here on the Juice and the Cuse podcast. Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Wes Chang, Matt D'Agostino with you. Coming to you after an 86-66 loss at the hands of Duke. Syracuse held tight in the first half, outscored by 18 in the second half to lose by 20. And after the game, Coach Adrian Autry talking about a lot of things, a lot of coach speak, the buzzwords you hear from a lot of coaches, Wes, turnovers, three-point defense, they were all part of his talking points after the game in this one.
Yeah, I think there's three quotes that I think we can take away from the game that you and I were talking about. I'm going to start with the first one, which is, I'm going to go, quote, "For the first half, Duke's guys got in foul trouble. In the second half, I thought we were responsible for Duke's scoring. We didn't take care of the ball." So again, you know, 17 points leading to 23 Duke points on the other end. And that was a season high for Syracuse. And if you don't take care of the ball on the road and you don't value each possession, especially when you're going to Cameron Indoor to take on the number 16 team in the country, it's not going to end well for you. And that's exactly what happened. And I think Coach Autry was right when he talked about it.
Yeah, a lot of maybe some uncharacteristic things that we've been seeing. The defense was certainly there in spurts. The steals were there. They forced 11 Duke turnovers. And like we mentioned, some good interior defense from Malik Brown that went, you know, went for naught with some Kyle Filipowski buckets. But by and large, it was not the typical things that we've been seeing from this Syracuse team. And we talked about it earlier, you know, a few days ago, Wes. There's been a clear demarcation between playing against ranked teams and playing against unranked teams for the Syracuse team. And maybe a win at Cameron Indoor vaults them into the top 25 conversation. Clearly, that's not the case. But Syracuse walks away from this one saying, yeah, it was another really good team. And yep, we were there for a little bit. But overall, the final score looks pretty daunting. Kind of what do you think, what do you take away from this big picture moving forward?
You know, Matt, I think big picture and, you know, we mentioned it before that the 20-point margin wasn't indicative of how close the game was. But and we were talking about in the last podcast about how this would be a good barometer game from the Orange, right? So it seems it tonight felt a lot like the Tennessee game where they hung around for most of the second half before they got away in the end. And, you know, the final score, again, wasn't indicative of how close it was. And I can't really say that this was a confidence booster for the team, but I really can't say this is a game you walk away from just completely giving up on the team and just saying burn the tape. So again, I think the flaws are what they are. And that said, they have a good enough team to win against slightly above average teams. The thing is that Duke is flat out an above average team. So that's not to say that this roster can't be good and you know, take one of these games every once in a while, but beating these kind of teams on a consistent basis where they are a top 25 team, I think that's the main takeaway from this game, is that I just don't think it's in the cards because the roster is flawed in the way that we've been discussing.
Was there ever a point in this game where you said to yourself or thought, like, Syracuse could win this game? Syracuse is outplaying Duke. Was there any of that at any point, I presume, in the first half? But was there any point where you were like, okay, this is going better than I thought?
Yeah, I think you know, when they went into halftime down two, I thought, all right, let's see what halftime adjustments they make, because they made some great halftime adjustments against Georgetown, against LSU, you know, most recently against Pitt. And I thought that there would be some halftime adjustments that would allow them to hang with them. And I actually thought, you know, early in the second half, even when they were down, when they were in that kind of 5-point, 3-point deficit and they kept scoring, I still felt pretty good about their chances. But, you know, getting back to the Autry press conference, here's another quote. It said, "That's tough to overcome. You can't do that against any team." And what he was referring to was giving up all those open looks from 3-point land. And again, you know, if you can't, there's no situation where you can give up 8 of 8 from 3-point shooting to another team and hope to win. So I think once those three started going in and Syracuse, you know, just couldn't keep pace with them offensively, you know, they kept pace with them for a little bit. They start hitting those threes. They don't miss at all in the second half. And that's when you realize maybe midway through the second half, all right, this is probably going to be, you know, the odds makers in Vegas made this 14.5. And I think anyone who bet the over is probably going to be doing pretty well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it felt like, okay, you come out of the half down two, and just like that, it felt like they were down 15. And even though, you know, they're hanging around, at no point in the second half did I feel like there was a rally in them that was capable of overcoming the deficit like they did against Cornell or anything like that. It was just kind of a game that, you know, I think it kind of ended up being what it was supposed to be. Again, I don't think the 20-point margin at the end is indicative of it. But there were a few fleeting moments in the first half where I was like, okay, they were up 20-19 going into the under eight timeout. And you're saying, okay. There were a couple moments where Mintz, who wasn't doing a whole lot in the first half offensively, got to the bucket seemingly at will. And we talk about that guard play. I can't believe we're saying this about a couple of sophomores, really, but the veteran leadership of the backcourt for Syracuse. And so there were a couple of moments, a couple of plays where it felt like things were going better than anticipated. But though they were too few and far between to really mount any sort of charge for the Syracuse Orange. They lose 86-66. Some post-game reacts. We'll come back to wrap things up in just a minute here on the Juice and the Cuse podcast. One last segment here on the Juice and the Cuse podcast. Matt D'Agostino, Wes Chang, here to wrap things up. And as we have been doing here the last few weeks, because it warrants it, we take a little detour over to football land for Syracuse as Wes has some more news about the ever-growing recruiting list for Syracuse football.
Yeah, Matt, you know, following up on our New Year's resolutions podcast, I was talking about how Syracuse needed to add some help in the trenches, and specifically on the defensive interior line. I talked about Deion Wilson Jr., the New Mexico transfer, setting up an official visit to Syracuse. Well, we don't need to worry about that as much now because Syracuse wrapped up a commitment from Wilson, 31 tackles, 2 sacks in the 2023 season. That gives Syracuse a huge pickup as they transition away from that 3-3-5 defense into a different style of defense where you need a different kind of defensive lineman that's going to be able to run stop as well as get to the quarterback. So another great pickup for Fran Brown and staff. They're clearly not done yet. The one other guy I actually wanted to talk about was Deuce Chestnut. He transferred to LSU in the offseason. He starts the game against Florida State. He has one interception that turns out to be the only highlight of the season because 1 week later, he's barely playing. A week after that, he's basically done with LSU. He transfers back to Syracuse, so he's boomeranging back to Syracuse. You don't see it that often in college football, but you can do that now with the transfer portal. And adding a guy from Camden, New Jersey, who is a defensive back who understands the Syracuse system and has had success in Central New York, a two-time All-ACC defensive back. It's always great to have that in the arsenal as well. So, you know, recruiting is going really well. You know, Fran Brown was brought in to do exactly what he's doing, and he's doing it. And there's still more to come in the pipe. I still think there's going to be 3 or 4 recruits that come in. You're going to say, wow, that's super helpful. That's exactly what they needed. And, you know, again, a lot of credit goes to Fran Brown and, of course, his staff.
Deuce Chestnut from Camden, New Jersey. How about that? Who would have thought that a Camden guy would end up near Syracuse with Fran Brown? Interesting there. Yeah, you're right. You do not see that sort of thing in college sports with a guy actually transferring back to the school he transferred away from. But it's a brave new world that we're living in here in college athletics. We'll take a look here in the next coming weeks. More Syracuse basketball on the way and more recruiting news to come as Fran Brown continues his early tenure at Syracuse football. So, for Wes Chang, I'm Matt D'Agostino. Thanks for watching the Juice on the Cuse podcast and listening on the Believe Network.